Welcome back to the Patriot Leadership Podcast. Thanks for joining us. It means a lot to us that you've been checking out the show, leaving us some reviews and things like that. It would mean a lot to us if you haven't. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Leave us a five-star written review. Let us know what you're thinking about the show. Today, we've got a Veterans Day episode we're putting out where we did an interview with a friend of mine, Jason Barton, who's an active duty Marine Master Sergeant. We'll get into that in a minute. But our normal schedule is going to be we'll release episodes weekly on Mondays. So look forward to that. You'll get those in your notifications if you subscribe. Make sure you don't miss the show. Then we'll mix it up. I've got some interviews coming up with some good guests and things like that. And then I'll have some other content that we sprinkle in here and there. But this episode today is with, again, my friend Jason Barton, active duty Marine Master Sergeant, 20 years of active service, multiple combat tours, different leadership capacities within the Marine Corps. He and I worked together for a couple of years on recruiting duty for the Marine Corps, and then we've been friends for a long time. But enjoy the show today. Enjoy this interview with Jason, and we will be back with you soon. Thank you.
All right, Jason, after a half hour of technical difficulties that I blame solely on you. I think we're ready to do this. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, it wasn't my fault at all, but I guess we can go with that.
Just like the old days, buddy, it's all your fault. And I'll take credit when you do well. And when I screw up, it'll somehow be your fault.
Well, that's a great leadership trait. So absolutely.
Hey, that's what we're talking about. But seriously, thanks for joining the show. I appreciate it. You and I have been talking about this for a while. I've been dragging my feet on getting started, but finally I've done a couple of episodes and wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of these leadership things we've been talking about. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit just quickly about you, kind of where you're from, what you're about, your career and things like that, and we'll dive into some other stuff.
Okay. Yeah, man. My name's Jason Barton. I'm from Dover, Ohio. So a little bit kind of close to where your stopping grounds are. Been in the Marine Corps for almost 20 years now in the aviation maintenance community. Living in Yuma, Arizona, my last duty station here before I retire next year. And then heading back to Dover to figure out what's next.
Nice. And so almost 20 years, you said?
Yeah, I'm over 20 now. Once I hang it up officially, I'll be a little over 21.
Good deal. And so during this 20 years, let's talk a little bit about some of the leadership experiences you had. Talk a little bit about some of the positive leadership experiences you've had, some of the people, and you don't have to name them, or you can if you want, but, and what it was about those people that impacted your career and had an influence on you, and what were some of those actual traits that they possessed that were that made them stand out as good leaders?
Yeah, I mean, the first one that comes to mind for me, my first duty station, checked in 2000 to Miramar, California, and I checked into this gunnery sergeant at the time. His name's Jay Booth. He's a retired master gunny now. This guy, real loud, boisterous, to the point where I was like, this guy's maybe a little nuts. But I realized early on that he did it for a reason. But the positive thing about him is that he looked out for me. So he cared about me as a person, not just about the Marine Corps side. And I noticed that, and that made me want to work harder for him. Just a quick story about him. And I remember being a Lance Corporal at the time, I'm not really sure, but I was behind on my cell phone bill. I didn't really realize it, but you know, young person, 20 years old, not really tracking my bills like I should, and they called my leadership and said, hey, this guy owes, you know, $1,800 or whatever it was. So, you know, he pulled me outside and said, hey, you're a good Marine. I think you got a lot of positives ahead of you. You're going to do good stuff. I don't want this to bring you down. So what he did for me was he paid that bill, and then he put it on his credit card, whatever it was. And then he every paycheck on the 1st and the 15th, he would say, "Hey, come here." And then I would go up there and I'd pay him $50 and I'd sign this paper. And I'll never forget it just because I didn't have the money to pay that bill at the time. And it could have caused me, you know, a negative effect on my career, but he went out of his way to help me. And that was a big deal. And then he trained me. So he wanted, his biggest thing was to make me be better than him. And at the time I didn't understand it because I was thinking, why would you want me to be better than you? My mindset at the time was, why wouldn't you want to be the best? I couldn't grasp that then. Now I can for sure, because I want the people under me to be the same way. But I remember that, and he wanted me to be the best, and I looked up to him for that. And that's one of those positive examples.
Yeah, and I that certainly makes a lot of sense to me. And real quick, just for the audience, this is something I've learned quickly in the first couple of episodes. You and I talk about some of these things because they're commonplace to us, because we've spent most of our adult lives in the Marine Corps. But one of the pieces of feedback I've gotten from some people is when we talk about military stuff, it doesn't resonate with everyone. And so just sure. To clarify real quickly, when you talk about a phone bill and you're like, well, why would your supervisor even know? In the military, like everything about your life is handled by your supervisors at work. So whether it's your personal finances, your relationship with your spouse, your kids, their school, whatever, they are aware of everything you're doing and responsible to make sure that you're doing it right. And so just kind of a weird thing that most people aren't used to in civilian life, but it's certainly the way of life when you're in the military.
Right. Absolutely, man. And I have another one too, if you got a second, man, just another person that comes to mind. So,
well, real quick on the guy you were talking about. So the traits or the sort of characteristics that guy exhibited. So what do you think, what were those things? Was it just, you know, the caring and the compassion or what do you think were the kind of the big things for him?
Yeah. I mean, so he was highly respected in our job field. He knew it very well. So if anybody needed anything, he would be the guy to go to. But the caring thing for me was the most important piece because I knew that he just didn't care about work. He cared about the people under his charge. And to me, that was the biggest piece. Now, I wouldn't say that he was compassionate. That's not a word I would use. And I don't think that in what we do.
A lot of Marines don't want to be described that way, do they?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think any of us really are in certain circumstances. But yeah, compassion is probably something I need to work on. I know my wife's told me that numerous times. But I guess as compassionate he could be in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good deal. I mean, that's a good story. And it certainly could have gone the other way for you as a young Marine. And you may not have survived 20 years if that would have went a different direction. So let's hear about, you said you had another example or another instance. Let's hear about that.
Yeah. So I think this is one that you'll know very well. 2006, I checked into recruiting duty out of independent duty. Right. So, and the guy I worked for is Lonnie Buckner.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I mean, and
you're not supposed to tell stories about me on this show.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to give your show a little credibility. Right. So, but I remember, you know, young guy and then you took me under your wing and we had a lot in common anyway. I mean, sports and just, you know, we had a lot of the same interests. So us hanging out was easy, right? So we go out and you kind of push me and show me, hey, you didn't just tell me to go out and do it. You showed me how to do it. And that was important to me. So, hey, here's how it needs to be done. And if you do it this way, more often it's going to work or not. It's not always going to work, but I'll train you to that piece. And that's what you did for me. Now there was times where you pushed me out and said, hey, go do this. And I needed to go do that to fail or to learn. But the one piece that stands out to me wasn't that piece. It was the other one to where when I did mess up and I wasn't doing my job, that you weren't afraid to tell me. And it wasn't a nice conversation, but it was the conversation that I needed to have at the time. And I think that's really important. So for me, I don't want people to beat around the bush. I want somebody, if they're in charge of me, to let me know, hey, you're wrong and here's how you fix it. And you and I had that relationship to where, you know, we could work together that way. We had a good relationship. At the same time, I knew that you were the boss and I respected that. So, you know, you sit me down and say, hey man, you're screwing up. Let's fix this piece. And I'd be like, yeah. So that was another guy. He was okay. Not as good as the first one, but he was all right.
I appreciate you saying that. And you and I have talked about that a lot over the years. We've made a lot of jokes about it because recruiting is one of those tough jobs where everybody's kind of in a place that they may not really want to be. And the job is extremely demanding. I was actually having a conversation with someone about this earlier today. And I think if you ask any Marine that's been a recruiter, they'd probably tell you they'd rather go back to combat than do recruiting again. Cause it's easier and, your career might, end up better. but no, I appreciate you saying that, but no, you know, at that time it was funny before that situation happened where I was the, I was in charge of that, recruiting office and you came on, I had a similar situation where I wasn't doing well. And, I had to go up to the headquarters and see our, you know, the commanding officer. And it's funny, his name was Lieutenant Colonel Chris Gideons, or I think now it's actually Colonel Chris Gideons, but he and I just had a conversation about this a month ago. And I didn't tell him this story again, but at that time I wasn't doing well. I have to go up to Cleveland. It's kind of the customary thing. Go up to Cleveland, see the boss and have him tell you you're not meeting the standards, whatever. But one of the things he told me at that time was he said there was two types of people that were out there on recruiting duty. And he simplified it, but it was basically that there were those that were able to do the job, but they weren't willing. And then the opposite, there were the guys that were able, they were not willing, but they were able. So, you know, he could only expect so much from them. And he put me in that category of, I know you can do a lot more. You're just choosing not to because of your approach and your attitude. And he said it just like I said it to you. I mean, he was calm and but he was professional and direct. And he said, dude, I know you can do a better job than what you're doing. And I'm not going to accept anything less. And I looked him in the eye and I said, sir, you're absolutely right. And I left there. And over the next few months, my performance got a lot better. And then 3 months later, I was put in charge of that station. And then you came on board. So it was kind of the same thing. These were leadership things I was learning along the way also. Again, I didn't realize we were going to talk about this exactly today, but it was funny how it kind of all lined up. But no, people need honest feedback. People don't know if they're missing the mark if you don't tell them. And sometimes, I mean, this is why coaches exist in all sorts of sports and other places in life, because they need somebody to push them to reach their potential, because sometimes we can't do it by ourselves. And I know you grew up playing basketball and some other sports. I mean, you weren't good at any of them, but.
Nah, you never saw me. But yeah, I wasn't.
But seriously, you know, you got to have it. Sometimes you need a coach to push you beyond what you think you can do. Right. On your own.
Yeah. And it wasn't a conversation at the time, right? I mean, that was something that was probably parts of the gut. But yeah.
when you came out to recruiting duty, it was already hyped up like, oh, this guy's going to be awesome. You know, you came out with the new commanding officer. You guys were in school together and there was a lot of hype about this Barton guy and, you know, he's going to be great. And when you came out, like, you're confident, you're a good speaker and, you know, and all those things that you'd want in a recruiter. But you got out there and the drive wasn't necessarily there every day. And I'm sure there was a lot of reasons for it, but I'm glad we got a chance to work together and talk about it. And hopefully we both left and I think we're both better for it.
Absolutely. It takes some failures in there to get past, to learn from. And that's a big piece for me. If you can learn from things that you messed up at, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And one real quick note on that. I mean, you did take over the area that I had. So you had this great framework already laid out for you, let's be honest.
I mean, well, I think we see that differently, to be honest with you. I don't think that was the case. But yeah, I don't know.
No, you don't think that was the case. okay. So we talked about a couple of the good examples. You were even nice enough to throw me in there and I appreciate that. I don't want names or anything like that, but what are some of the negative traits that you've seen with some of the poor leaders that you've had to work for directly in the Marine Corps? Because let's be honest, they're not all great. The Marine Corps does a good job of trying to train everybody, but a lot of these traits are deeply rooted in our personality. So let's talk about a couple of those things.
Yeah, man. So the biggest thing that comes to my mind maybe is micromanagement. I see that a lot in certain spots, and I've always been very against that piece. For me, I never want to be micromanaged as a young Marine, you know, as a young person doing my job. Once I was trained, I wanted to have something that was mine and be able to do it. Once you taught me, I was like, okay, I'm good. And I think a lot of people are like that this day too. I mean, nobody wants you to be over there, you know, over their shoulder 24/7, letting you know, hey, this, that, you know, and that's one big thing for me. That piece, and also unable to give up control. I think one thing that's made me an effective leader over time is learning that the people around me have really good ideas. So, I know that you've had this issue before, we've talked about it, but you know, I've had times too where I thought that we could do some things differently. And I went to my, you know, higher up and said, hey, let's try this. And he was like, I don't think so, man. Right. It's not really your place, but what we're doing here is good. And a lot of the time it was because that person was the one that came up with it. Another piece would be, you know, I could say that, or somebody else that's probably smarter than me, and they would say, hey, let's do this. And that person would grab it and make it theirs. And then, hey, we came up with this and it's mine. Right. So that's one big thing for me, the micromanagement piece and the control.
Sure. Yeah, I think that exists in a lot of places. I've had that in a couple of the civilian jobs that I've had since leaving the Marine Corps, where it's actually one of the biggest issues I've had, where because if you're somebody that can perform whatever it is, whatever you're good at, if you can perform that at a pretty high level, you're looking for that opportunity to just contribute to the organization and be a contributing member of the team. And it can be very frustrating to people when they don't feel like they're given the opportunity. And that can happen for, you know, different reasons, depending on who that person is that's preventing that. I've had a couple of situations and I've talked about this before, where, you know, sometimes it's that person's ego. They want to be the one that's getting, you know, whatever credit may come, or, right. Or just feel like, if I let you exercise your smart ideas, it's going to make me look bad. So they have a little bit of a issue with, you know, their image or self-consciousness or whatever the case may be. And it's funny, I had I was with a company at one time, and we hired a guy to come in and do some leadership training, and he was really good. And all the managers enjoyed working with him. He's a retired Army guy and fit right in. But one of the things he actually said to the owner of the company, because this was a thing that I'd exercised with him, a problem that I had currently, was that, hey, you know, there's this extreme control. You know, here the owners hired these people to come in and do these high level jobs, whether they're, you know, a VP or a director or whatever, you know, they're expected to be able to, you know, perform at a high level, but they don't really let them. And that can be frustrating for people. So he actually said this to the owner when he was doing kind of a little micro coaching session, but he said, you know, it usually boils down to two things with business owners and people like that. It's, you know, do you want to be rich or do you want to be the king? And in the instance that I'm describing, it was the latter. The guy wanted to be the king. He really didn't. I mean, he wanted to make money and he did, but that wasn't the motivation. The motivation was he just wanted to be the man.
Right.
And he felt like when other people came in and had a greater impact on day-to-day operations, that he was pushed aside and he didn't have a role anymore. And that's okay. But if that's what you're looking for, then it makes it really hard to scale your business to a larger degree. Because you can't do that by yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. And that's tough. One thing that comes to mind too, is in that same aspect, is I've learned that, you know, the people that I see above me and stuff that really struck me the wrong way. And it was a negative effect was they would take all of the credit, none of the blame. Right. So it would be a piece of, hey, this didn't get done. Oh, well, I told this person to do it. Well, that's not how things work, man. You know, supervision is a big step in leadership. But, you know, once you get to the highest level or the highest level in your certain arena, you know, if you're the top guy in that area, one thing that, that I was taught is that, hey, I take none of the credit, none of it. Even, you know, hey, let the people below you, they worked hard. So, hey, if somebody comes in and says, great job, hey, not me, I'm not doing it. These guys are doing it. And then if something's right. wrong, if something's wrong, then you know what? Hey, I'm going to go in and stand tall and take the punches, right? What's the problem there? Well, obviously it's me. All right. I mean, I'm the guy that's supposed to run the show and perform and it's not getting done. And then obviously, you know, bad things roll downhill and then you take that and you go in there and fix it as you see fit. But when it comes to standing up for your guys or gals that work for you, I mean, you got to do that. Take that blame from them.
No, I think that's a great point. That's one of the biggest things that I've seen in some of the culture studies that I've done is where, you know, people want to work in an environment where they feel safe. And part of that safety is the supervisor providing an area where they feel like, man, this guy or girl is going to stick up for me. They're going to stand up for me. And that's all to a point, but certainly with, you know, if things go well or don't go well, or whatever happens or whatever fails to happen is the leader's fault. And, you certainly can't be afraid to accept that and take that.
100%, man. You said it perfectly there. It's protecting them or them feeling safe because they have you. That's absolutely correct.
So we've talked about some of the good things, a couple of the negative traits and how that affects, you know, the folks you work with and how it affects us. So I left the Marine Corps, I don't know, a little over 6 years ago and things were different, you know, things changed a lot. And I think people that spanned this time, you know, kind of pre 9/11, post 9/11, like things were different. And a lot of it for the good, but things are different. So what are with the Marines that you're leading today, and the other Marines that you work with, even your seniors, like what are some of the top challenges that you're, the leadership challenges that you're dealing with right now?
For me, it's the mentality of this generation of people. It's just, it's different. I remember coming in and I had a serious fear of if I don't do this, then some serious things are going to happen to me. Right. Not like a physical thing or anything else, but I knew that there were some serious consequences for my actions for something as small as, you know, showing up to work 1 minute late, whatever it was. And that's still the case now, but I feel like the individuals today, not all of them, obviously we have some super smart people out there and we're smarter now than we ever have been. But the mentality is just different. It's more of they lack it. I think today the best way to describe it is we grow up in a everybody wins generation, right? We're handing out participation trophies. There's no winners. There's no losers. And I think that is a big problem. You know, I don't like to lose. I know you don't. And I don't teach my kids to like it. When my sons lose, hey, if you don't hate it, then, you know, you're probably a loser, right? So learn how to deal with it. And you know what's fun? Winning. Winning's fun. But that's kind of the thing. It's more of, you know, just have consequences for your actions. And I feel like today they just don't have that same fear or that same, hey, if I don't do this, it's going to be a problem for me.
Yeah, I understand. And I think that's probably a lot of problems that even parents are dealing with.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I deal with it with my boys and you know what? I was the same way, I'm sure, when I was growing up. Right. So, I don't know where I hit that, where I swapped over to where, oh man, I need to fix this piece of myself or I'm going to be in trouble. I don't know when that took place, honestly, when I think about it. But one thing I talked to my Marines about and my boys too, that there's two things, you know. One of is own it and learn from it. You make a mistake, own it. Hey, I screwed up and I'm not going to make that mistake again. I think that's very important. And attitude and effort. there's two things you can control no matter what. You can control your attitude in any situation, and you can control your effort. So if those two things are positive, then at the end of it, I think it's going to work out more often than not.
No, I agree with you. That's, I think the attitude piece is huge. I mean, it's, that's what gets, I had a conversation with an employee today about something simple as a time card, and, you know, made it out to be a big deal. And I'm like, dude, we want to pay you, but I can't pay you if you don't fill out your time card on time. I mean, this is a simple equation. And, but I'm sure he was frustrated with something else, and it kind of just, you know, festered into something different, but it's a whole approach. I'm like, what are you upset about? If you're, it's kind of that idea of, if you're present, if you're here, then be on the team. You know, if you're going to show up, then be on the team. Right. Don't show up and then be somebody that's a detractor from the team. You know, the right approach, the right attitude. Again, it doesn't mean things are perfect. It doesn't mean that you can't bring up issues that maybe need addressed. But it's all in the manner that you do it, I think, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you mentioned some of the stuff with your kids. And I've had this with my daughter, who's 14. She has horses and stuff. And I can remember one time we were out doing some work in the barn, and we were cleaning horse stalls and things like that. And I gave her a couple of things she needed to do, and I had to go do some other stuff around the farm. And I came back, and she hadn't done a couple of things that I'd asked her, and she was, you know, kind of just goofing off. And I just asked her, I said, what's going on? Why didn't you do this? And she had a bunch of excuses and no real good reasons. It was just clear she just was goofing off. And she's a kid, so I didn't beat her up about it, but I just said, that right there, the answer you just gave me, that crap answer, excuse answer that you just gave me, is something that, you know, in just a few years when you're an adult, isn't going to fly with anybody.
Right.
You know, whether you have a job in retail at a store or a restaurant or while you're in college, or you're, you know, have some any other kind of job. If your supervisor asks you to do something, they expect you to follow through. And if you can't for some reason, go back and talk to them and say, hey, I'm trying to do the job you're asking me to do, but I can't because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. But you don't just throw your hands up and say, screw it. And that was kind of the lesson. And so we talk through those things all the time. And I think, you know, to your point, it's that same idea. But there has to be somebody to kind of coach them through how they should handle it. And it, you know, it obviously sounds like you do that with your own kids, but as a member of the military, and even as a professional in a workplace somewhere, as any kind of manager or leader, you're going to have that with regular employees, and you've got to be able to, you know, you want to have the right culture and the right approach to be able to do it where people can receive that feedback. And then it is what it is. You can't control if they're going to like it or not or accept it, but you have to be willing to stand up and deliver it.
Yeah, man. You said a word there. Culture. Culture is big. Cause it, in the wrong culture or environment, people are going to look at you like, okay, dude, you don't do this. Why should I listen to what you say? Right. So if you're the guy that has that culture, if you've, you know, fixed it, or you came in and changed it, or if it's always been good, you came in to try to make your own improvement to it, then they're going to respect you more and do that kind of stuff. Now, I may not be the right guy for this, cause I know that when my wife goes places sometimes, she maybe give me a list of things to do, and then she comes back and I'll give those same excuses that my friends give. But I mean, in the workplace, it's a little bit different, right? So, you know.
Absolutely. No, I get it. One or two more questions here, and we'll kind of wrap things up. So since you've been doing this for a long time, and throughout your years leading Marines and what are the things that's helped you in your leadership? Has it been the training? Has it been, you know, examples of good leaders that you've seen or bad leaders? I mean, what are the things that's helped you kind of understand and improve in leading the people around you?
I think the training is a big piece. I mean, Marine Corps as a whole is big on leadership. We give leadership to Marines at the lowest level. Right. So, you know, if private's your lowest rank, hey, private first class, you're in charge of this guy or gal. So I think that's a small piece of it. The biggest thing for me has been you know, you can learn something from every person in charge of you, every leader or lack of a leader. So if they're good, then take the things that you like about that leader or what they do well and add that to your tool belt. If you have somebody that's a poor leader, take the things that you hate that they made you do, or that how they led you or your team, and just make sure that's something that you never do for your team. And you can take those pieces and you can have the greatest leader, but you may not agree with everything that person does. So you can emulate that person, but not 100%, you know, make it, you already have your personality, the way you lead, and you can just continue to get better by adding and taking away from your tool belt from those people. That's what I've done over my career. I think it's made me a solid leader overall. But I still learn today, you know, 20 plus years in, every once in a while, I'll see something and I'll be like, man, I'm missing the mark there. I got to grab that and make that mine and fix that piece.
Sure. Well, I think that's always ongoing. It's kind of funny how your kids have a way of humbling you and doing that all the time also.
They sure do.
Mm-hmm. I think being a parent is the biggest leadership challenge, but it's not always easy leading other adults either.
Nope.
You know, one thing I saw recently, I wanted to share this real quick before we finish up, and I thought this was great. And I can't give credit at the moment because I don't recall exactly where I got it from, but I didn't make this up. I got it from somebody else. There was a guy who he teaches kind of culture as a business coach and things like that. He'll come into your organization and help bring the whole team together, and they'll kind of define, okay, who are we? What do we want to be? And all these things. And he's kind of got a roadmap to do that. And I kind of saw a snapshot of their board once they put this together and what it looked like. And the two things that stood out to me most that I think kind of ties in with what we're talking about was, you got to have a clear vision of you know, who are we as an organization? What do we want to be? And one of the things he had on the board was, what are the type of behaviors in our organization that we will celebrate and reward people for? Let's identify those. And so they write them down. They go down the list. And the whole, you know, this is the whole team seeing this. So, you know, people can see, you know, whatever that is, whatever those top performance indicators are. It could just be, you know, somebody being compassionate, somebody being a team player, excellence in their particular job or whatever. So you define that. These are the things that as a company we're saying to everyone, we're publishing this, that everyone knows these are the things that if you do these, you know, you'll be celebrated and rewarded and so forth.
Right.
And then conversely, what are the behaviors that we won't tolerate? What are the things that if you do these things are not acceptable here? And you have to identify those. And I think that's huge because I've seen this, especially since leaving the Marine Corps, where there's not anywhere near a level of accountability as there is there, where there's people doing all sorts of poor behaviors. And it's kind of, let's pick and choose what things we will hold people accountable for and what we won't, and typically not. That type of stuff right there completely undermines that culture that you were talking about. When people see that there's these poor behaviors that certain people can get away with, and nobody does anything about it. The leadership's not holding anybody accountable to the things that we've said are important to us, or to the things that we're not going to tolerate. So if somebody's a jerk or just flat out is lazy or whatever it is, or is underperforming, that we just kind of let it go. And those are kind of the top things that I've seen as kind of that culture killer since I've left the military.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's huge. I mean, because then everybody understands, hey, what's expected of me, right? If I do these things, then I can be very successful here. And then if I do these things, then I'm not going to have a job for long. And I think that's a big deal. Right? I mean, I know if they told me that, I'd be like, okay, I'm definitely not doing those things. And it goes back to, I think accountability is huge. Consequences for your actions. You know, you screw up, then hey, you know what? You got to pay the price, whatever it is. And then you learn from it, you know, own it, learn from it. It's a big deal.
Yeah. No, and I kind of I narrowed it down to a couple of things that there's lack of leadership, lack of structure, and lack of accountability, and those things have to exist. And it's not to be rigid or hard; it doesn't have to be, but at a very basic level, there does have to be some sort of rules of the game that everybody kind of agrees to live by. And then ultimately, the reason leadership's hard is because somebody has to enforce it. And that's a lot of times where the breakdown comes in.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said any better. That's why it's your show and I'm just on it, man.
No, dude. I just wanted to wrap it up with those couple of thoughts at the end. And so for you here in the next few months, you're going to be retiring and moving on and moving back to Ohio. Is that right?
Yeah. So July 31st, I'll be hanging it up, bittersweet. I think now more sweet than bitter. I've done my time and, just like you, dude, you knew people ask, hey, how'd you know? You wake up one day and you're just like, it's time for something different. So we're excited. We're going to move back to our hometown and my wife and I are both from there. So the boys are happy. Both our families are there. So building a house and go back to there and hang out with family and start the next chapter.
Well, that's awesome. I'm happy for you and proud of you. And, we've crossed paths a couple of times. We spent a little bit of time working together on recruiting and, ran into you a couple other places. We've always kept in touch over the years. So, happy for you guys. Glad you're going to retire soon, get back here, and hopefully we'll keep doing this. And,
yeah, thanks for having me on, dude. I look forward to it. And,
sounds good. We'll do this again here in a couple months, buddy. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, bud.
We'll have him back on the show periodically, kind of a friend of the show. And again, hope you enjoyed that. Again, thanks again for listening. Look forward to you tuning in next week. And hit that like and subscribe button. Share the show with your friends or somebody you know that may be interested in leadership and learning more. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.